When I don't know what to do, I always remind myself. When I don't know how to pray about this or that, I always remind myself that I have living in me the greatest prayer partner in all of the universe. Amen. The Holy Spirit.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in for Love Never Fails. Today, Pastor Bill begins the final message from his in-depth study in the New Testament epistle of James. Pastor has entitled this final message, Prayer is the Work. Now let's join Pastor.
You know, every time we come to an end of a study like we have in James, it's always like I wish, you know, maybe if there had been just one more chapter or maybe just a few more verses. But today we're going to end our study. It's been a great study. The last words of James, remember that the Holy Spirit penned these words through him. Five incredible chapters, 108 verses, 54 commands telling us you have to grow up. And that you can grow up by the power of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and by the grace He's given unto us. Amen? Through obedience. Now, the theme of these last verses, anyone would figure this one out. And the reason I say that is because the theme is right before us, without a doubt, and that is prayer. And we have seven times prayer is mentioned. And James has already mentioned prayer. It's a couple of times, maybe more. But we know over in chapter 1, I think it was 1-2, where he talks about if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. And then in James 4-2, he writes and says, you have not because you ask not. So now he's coming into this theme here of prayer in these verses that we're here. I know that James believed in the power of prayer. Do you? Remember what Eusebius, who was, I think he was a Greek early church father, I can't remember, which even if I did remember, it's not going to help us, okay? But the fact is, he said that James, he had a nickname. He was called Old Camel Knees. And the reason he was called that is because if you know how a camel, when they kneel down and how their knees are all hard and calloused, and so James's knees were that way because he was on his knees all the time praying. And boy, so we know that he believed in the power of prayer. This morning, I'm going to talk to you. The title, of course, is Prayer is the Work. Prayer is the Work. You've heard me say that over all these decades so many times. You probably think that word originated with me, don't you? People have actually said that. But no, it's E.M. Bounds is the one who said prayer is the work. And boy, it really, really is. So this morning, we would all do well, even though these verses I know are so familiar to so many, but you know, we need these verses in our hearts. And the reason I say that is during our lifetime, you know, like for example, we're going to look at the suffering Christian. We just read that. We're going to look at the cheerful Christian. We're going to look at the sick Christian. And we're going to look at the backsliding Christian or the backslidden Christian. And we will all experience some of those things in our life. Amen? So as we begin this morning, and the prayer is the work, let's begin in verse 13, where he starts off with a question. And he says, is anyone among you, there in the churches, any of the churches, anyone among you suffering? King James Version says, afflicted. So the word suffering here, which is mentioned, that particular Greek word, about 3-4 times in Scripture, here it literally means this. Are you having a hard time? Are you going through troubles in this life? Are you being persecuted? Are you being ill-treated? Now listen, no matter what you hear on Christian TV, every Christian will have troubles in this life. Do you understand? All of us, I don't care, you can be the greatest prayer warrior in the world. You can know all 66 books of the Bible, Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic. You could even believe the maps in the back of your Bible, okay? You are going to have troubles in this lifetime. That's just part of living, loved one. Jesus told us this. He said in John 16:33, these things which he had already spoken to the disciples, talking about hostility, talking about how you're going to be hated. He said, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. Isn't that a great word? That's a promise from the lips of Jesus. In me, you may have peace. You know, the Bible teaches us that Jesus is our peace. Amen? To Ephesians 2:14, he himself is our peace, loved one. He says, in me, you will have peace. And listen to this promise now. He says, but in this world, he said, oh, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have problems, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Aren't you glad that we are in the one who has overcome the world? And if Jesus has overcome the world, which he has, that means everything that's in the world, every kind of trouble, Jesus has overcome. The Bible teaches us, the psalmist said in Psalm 34, verse 19, many, not just a few, but many are the afflictions or the troubles of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that when we're going through trouble, he gets us through it? Amen? Yes. How do we do that? Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. Now, question, let's look at our text there. Are you a suffering Christian? Are you going through trouble? Are you having a hard time in your life? I want you to listen to the greatest wisdom in all of the universe, the wisdom of God. Look at it. Here is unbelievable what God says. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him complain to everyone in the church. Oh, I'm sorry. No, no. Let him blame others. Let him blame his mother-in-law. No. Let him blame God. Look what God says to do. Are you going through it? Are you having a hard time? Are things difficult right now? Are you being ill-treated? Whatever's happening, he gives us a command, not an option, not even a suggestion, a command. Let him or let her pray. Literally, keep on praying. Like Jesus said, man, I'll always pray and never give up, never faint. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we're commanded to pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean that every moment that we are praying, it means that we always are in the attitude of prayer. Amen? Now, every suffering, whatever it might be, every suffering, Christian, that we go through is a call to prayer. Think about that. No matter what it is. See, why? Because prayer is the work. It'll always be the work. And you say, well, Bill, when I'm going through it, I don't want to pray. I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know what to ask God. I just sit there, I'm going, I don't know. All the circumstances, all the things that are surrounding me, it's not working, Lord. You know, listen to me. I understand. When I don't know what to do, I always remind myself, when I don't know how to pray about this or that, I always remind myself that I have living in me the greatest prayer partner in all of the universe. Amen? The Holy Spirit. And not only that, I have a promise about prayer from the living God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says this, likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, helps us. Isn't that wonderful to know? The Holy Spirit helps us when? In our weaknesses, it says. When we're going through it, when we don't know what to do, when we're suffering in this trouble and that trouble, and it could be emotional weakness, it could be all those things. It says, he helps us in our weaknesses. Listen, for we do not know what we should pray. Isn't that a true word? We don't know what we should pray, for as we ought to pray, we just know we need to pray. Amen? And listen to what happens. But the Holy Spirit himself makes intercession for us. He lives in us, and we're praying, and he's pleading before the throne of grace. Think of that. And you know why he does it? He does it, it says, with groanings that cannot be uttered. Groanings. Did you know? Listen, groaning is scriptural. That's a joke. Hello. Are you guys with me this morning? Yeah, it's okay to groan. Man, listen, and that's exactly what he's doing. You know, one of the great scriptures, y'all know this, Philippians 4:6, where it says, be anxious. Don't be torn apart. Don't be divided in your mind. Be anxious for nothing, absolutely nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. And then he says something, Paul, with what? Thanksgiving. That's a good word. That means why would we be thankful when we're praying and we're anxious? Because we know God's going to help us. It says, be anxious for nothing, everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. As you know, I've taught that many times, the word guard there means that the God himself will set a military arsenal, if you will, around your heart, around your mind, with his peace. It doesn't mean that the thing, the trouble, the suffering, whatever it might be you're going through, is going to completely diminish immediately. But it does mean that in it, you can say, no, I have peace. I know that my God loves me. I know he'll never leave me. He will never forsake me. And he will get me through whatever I am facing. So he says here, he says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Look at this command. It's a command. Let him sing psalms. When's the last time you did that? Huh? And think about that. So the cheerful Christian, I told the early service, I said, listen, I said, you know, when the sermon is over and you guys go out and eat lunch, don't go down to Hofbräu. Hofbräu's got good food. However, they have the saddest music in the world. It's like, hello, you want to just, you're cutting your steak and you start crying, you know? You don't want to do that. Now, so here, the cheerful Christian, okay? It doesn't say the happy Christian, because happiness is a great word, but it's happiness depends on happenings or circumstances to make you happy, right? See, this is the joy of the Lord, which is your strength that lives in you. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit, amen? So he says, are you cheerful? Here's what you're commanded to do. You know, just open up your Bible if you want to. You've got a whole music section right there in the Psalms. Let him sing psalms. Now, that word is one word in the Greek, and it literally means to strike the strings like singing along with a harp. I don't play the harp, okay? But it's very important because, see, if we know the Word of God and study it out, we realize that there's a false doctrine that some denominations teach, and that false doctrine is this, that it is a sin to have any form of musical, type of musical instruments in your church for worship. Well, this scripture right here completely destroys that. Amen? Because, like I said, the word right there means to sing to music from the harp. That means a musical instrument. Now, are you cheerful? Are you having a great day? Everything is working out. Your kids are happy. That's a miracle. You know what I'm saying? Everything is going good. Even your husband is happy. He says, let him, let her sing. Let me give you a few verses. Psalm 105, verse 2. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him, to our Father. Talk of all his wondrous works. Psalm 33:3. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. Play him a new song. You know, Job, remember what he says in, 35:10? God who gives songs in the night. Maybe some of you need a new song right now. Well, I tell you, the Lord will give it to you. And then Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. That's a command, be being filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms. Now, that word means psalms along with string instruments. Yeah, when's the last time you spoke a psalm to somebody? He says, speaking psalms to one another, hymns, and then it says, and spiritual songs. Spiritual songs are songs given to you by the Holy Spirit. You remember when Paul and Silas were in the dungeon, they were beaten in the stocks. It was midnight, it was Acts chapter 16, and they started singing to the Lord. Remember? The great earthquake happened and all of that. Well, I believe that was the Holy Spirit had given them a spiritual song, a supernatural song to sing, if you will. It says, in singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always to all things to God, the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, have you ever been around someone who is drunk and they start singing? This side really knows. I mean, you know, that's not joy. That's a phony joy, okay? Right out in front of you. They don't know this. All my exes live in Texas. You know, I don't know, something like that. But listen, okay, listen, it's very important now. Why would the Holy Spirit command us, the cheerful believer, everything's going great in your life? Man, it's just, your work is going well. Your family's doing good. You're making enough money. I mean, everything is just, it's all right. Why would he command us to sing psalms? Because, loved one, listen, you know it, I know it. When everything is just going great in your life, do you have a tendency to put God off? Do you have a tendency to forget about God? Do you have a tendency to maybe I'm not going to study or open up the Bible today, maybe not even pray? So God says, no, no, when you're doing great, that's a dangerous time. So that's when you can get in a lot of trouble. Amen? He says, no, you keep your eyes on me. The Bible says, David writes in Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times, good times, bad times, whatever it is. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Do you know when David penned that? He was in the cave, remember, hiding from King Saul, who wanted him dead, and he had 400 buddies with him, remember? They were all in debt, and they were all unhappy, and they were hanging with David. David penned that psalm right there. I'll praise the Lord at all times. Now, look at the sick Christian. This is a very important verse, a very abused verse, okay? I pray that if you have ears to hear, now that you open them, because if you're like me, you hate sickness and suffering. When I see people, it breaks my heart. And so here it says, is anyone among you, among us right now, is anyone among you sick? Asteneo is that word in the Greek. Well, it means to be sick. It means to be ill or without strength or disabled or powerless. It means that you have something in your body that is causing it to waste away. You are sick. Listen to the incredible wisdom of God if you are ill in your body. He says, is anyone among you sick? Okay. Let him or let her call for the elders of the church. It doesn't say to call Medicare and see if you're going to be covered if you go to the doctor. Nothing wrong with going to the doctor and nothing wrong to check your insurance policy. Amen? But it said, if you are sick, the first thing that God wants you to do, it's a command, loved one. He commands us. He said, listen, I want you well. Whatever is going on with you, he says, call for the elders of the church. That means that you have a responsibility if you are ill in your body. And it says elders, plural, meaning pastors and the spiritual leadership of the church. And then it says, look at the last part. Let him, let her call for the elders where? Of the church. That means that every Christian should be connected and committed to a local body someplace. And when you call, what are the elders to do? Look at it. And let them, meaning the elders, pray over him or pray over her. That is another command, another imperative. And it means literally, don't delay. Pray for that person immediately. And it says, and anointing him with what? Oil. That word anointing is a really strange word here. It literally means having oiled him or her. All right, I'm going to oil you, okay? It literally means to rub, all right? To rub the oil, if you will. My question is this, why the oil? You ever wonder about that? I mean, if you study out the healings, the majority of the healings in the New Testament, there's no oil involved. I mean, Peter's shadow. Or Paul's sweat rag around his neck. God used those things to heal people, amen? So remember that then that oil was viewed by the Jewish people as medicinal. And Luke chapter, 10:34, the Good Samaritan. It says that the Good Samaritan, what did he do to the man that was wounded and dying, that was on the side of the road? He poured in the oil. Why? To soothe the wound. And then he poured in the wine. Why? That was the alcohol. That was an antiseptic to maybe rid off any infection. So it was used. That's why the Good Samaritan did those. Even the disciples, it says in Mark 6:13, it says they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick, and God healed them. Now, listen, the emphasis on our text, though, is not oil. Oil doesn't heal anyone. It's just we're commanded to do that. Now, who does the healing? It's about prayer. It's not about the oil. And it says the prayer of faith is the one, okay, that does the healing. But question quickly, why do the elders, why do we have to anoint the person that calls us and that is sick? Why do we anoint them with oil? I love this part because whenever a pastor or an elder, and, you know, we keep oil right here, okay, it's from Jerusalem. No, it really is, but that doesn't mean anything. You can use Havilland. It doesn't matter, okay? 30 weight, it'll work. It's oil, okay? It's not magic. But the thing is, it's really beautiful when you understand that when he or she comes and they're at the altar and say, I'm being diagnosed with this or that or whatever it might be, and the elder He looks at that person who's his brother or her sister, and he takes the oil and he puts it in his hands, and he rubs it upon her, rubs it upon him, whoever. You know what that is symbolic of? That you are being set aside for God, for his care, for his attention, because he loves you, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for us. Amen. You see, you, me, we are his purchased possession. Amen. Are we the temple of the Holy Spirit? Yes. And what does the oil symbolize in Scripture? The Holy Spirit. So what is that saying as we obey that? God is saying, my divine presence, whether you see me or not, and we won't, but my divine presence is right there with you. So that's a beautiful thing to anoint with oil. And look how you do it. It says, in the name of the Lord. That's the authority. The one, the creator, the sustainer of all things, the one who's seated at the right hand of God, the one who has all power on earth and in heaven. What a privilege it is to use the name that is above every name. Amen? The name, there's only one name in heaven by which a man can be saved, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. And at that name, when you do that, the power of that name, it's not a magical formula or any of those things. Listen, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every knee will bow. On earth, in heaven, under the earth, amen? And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What a privilege it is to be able to pray in the name of the Lord. Man, listen, demons, do you know that demons tremble at the name of Jesus? Do you know that they have to run in terror at the name of Jesus? He defeated them on the cross, amen? Amen. He defeated them. They are demons, but they're defeated. Satan is defeated. He is not the victor. He is defeated. Amen. Oh, he's still here, and he'll get after you, but he can't touch the Christian. Do you understand? We belong to the Lord. Can I give you just a few scriptures about the name of Jesus? Luke 10:17, remember when Jesus sent out the 70 disciples, not apostles, the 70, and they went out and they were healing, and it says, and they returned with joy saying, oh Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. The first miracle of healing in the book of Acts is in Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Peter and John, remember they were going up the temple to pray at the hour of prayer. There was a lame man there, and the lame man looked upon him to receive the alms. But Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Amen? At the name of Jesus, you Christian, every Christian has the right and the authority to pray in his name and to pray for others in his name. Oh, think about that. It says in Acts 16:18, whenever the little girl who was a fortune teller, and she had an evil spirit, the spirit of Pythian, actually. So she was tormenting Paul by, these are the men of the Most High God, you know, and they were going on. Paul, it says in Acts 16:18, he became so annoyed. He said, he turned and he said to the spirit, he didn't say to the girl, the spirit that had her. He said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And he came out that hour. I could give you so many scriptures, and I don't want to, but do you understand? They're all on the app. You can look at them about the name of Jesus. Look at verse 15 now. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now, question. It says the prayer of faith. Whose faith? Who's doing the praying? Come on, you can talk to me. Who's doing the praying? The elders. It's not the sick person, the sick Christian. It's not about their faith right here. Do you understand? Their faith was, I'm going to the elders. I'm doing what God said. You follow me? The prayer of faith is the one, the elders or the pastors, when they're down here praying, they pray the prayer of faith. See, faith obeys God's command, and faith also believes the promises of God. And so the prayer of faith, when it's prayed, watch this now, it says it will save. That word means to restore to health the person, the sick person that they're praying for. But the word sick is different than the word sick used earlier. This word means those who are just literally exhausted and worn out.
Once again, we're out of time, but please don't miss tomorrow's broadcast when Pastor Bill will complete today's message. We appreciate you listening to Love Never Fails today, and until next time, may the Lord bless you.
If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.